Welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. Today, we're looking up to the skies over American cities where automated eyes are changing public safety. We're asking the question, are AI drones America's newest cops? But first, let's talk about where you're putting your marketing dollars. Stop marketing to the general public. Talk directly to enterprise AI builders. AI Unraveled is the single destination for the senior enterprise leaders, CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who need production-ready solutions like yours. We've reserved a limited number of high-impact ad spots for companies focused on high-stakes, governed AI infrastructure. This is a direct line to your most valuable buyers. Don't wait for your competition to claim the remaining airtime. Secure your package by emailing us today at info@jamgatech.com. Back to AI Unraveled. From life-saving response times to profound questions of privacy and law, we're digging into the technology and the debate. Stay with us.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise and give you the essential facts on the big stories. Today, we're looking up, because the eye in the sky, well, it's starting to think for itself. Our Deep Dive question is this. Are AI-powered drones becoming America's newest police force? And as our sources show, it's not a simple yes or no. It's complicated. Picture this scenario first. A 911 call, an overdose. An autonomous drone lifts off a rooftop, flies directly there, and drops naloxone. All in under 2 minutes. That's 4 minutes faster than an ambulance, potentially boosting survival chances by, over 270%? It sounds like a miracle cure, really. The magic bullet.
It absolutely does. That's the promise, the undeniable good.
But then, flip the coin. Another city, a peaceful protest, police drones overhead. And they're not just passively recording, nope. AI is analyzing faces, tracking people, basically logging everyone there. That creates this real chilling effect on free speech, wouldn't you say?
Precisely. And that stark contrast you've just described, that's the heart of the issue we're digging into. Fusing AI with drones isn't just, a small upgrade. It's a fundamental shift. The drone changes from just a tool, like a remote camera, into something more like a semi-autonomous actor making decisions. So our mission today is to really unpack the technology, look at the, frankly, fractured legal side, and weigh these huge societal consequences, life-saving potential versus mass surveillance.
Okay, let's start with the pull factor, the big driver, efficiency. The drone is first responder, or DFR, model.
Why?
So the core idea is these automated rooftop docks, right? 911 call comes in, drone launches itself.
Exactly. And because it flies directly, unimpeded by traffic or streets, the time savings are just dramatic.
We're talking serious speed improvement.
Oh, absolutely. Look at the data. Montgomery County, Maryland, they're clocking an average drone response time of just 53 seconds.
53 seconds.
Wow.
And another study, this one focusing on opioid overdoses, found drones could get there in about 90 seconds. Compare that to the average ambulance time of almost 9 minutes.
When every second counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's powerful.
It makes it very hard to argue against from a public safety perspective. That speed is compelling.
But is it just about speed? Or does it actually change how officers approach a scene? Is it safer?
That's the other major argument from proponents, officer safety. Instead of walking into an unknown, potentially dangerous situation completely blind, the drone gives them eyes in the sky before they arrive. They can see the layout, number of people, potential weapons. It de-escalates things before they even start.
Right. I've read about cases where a drone confirmed a reported gun was just a toy, letting officers approach calmly.
Exactly those kinds of scenarios. And then there's the efficiency angle, which is huge for departments struggling with staffing.
Like in Chula Vista, California, they were early adopters.
They really were. And their data shows that in about 24% of calls where a drone responds first, they don't even need to send a sworn officer immediately.
So it frees up officers for the really critical stuff.
It keeps them available for high priority calls that genuinely need that human presence on the ground.
And Chula Vista's system is pretty advanced, isn't it? Integrated with live 911 audio.
Yes, that's key. They got those crucial FAA waivers for beyond visual line of sight, BVLOS operations. So the operator doesn't need eyes on the drone. That allows citywide coverage. And the live 911 integration means an operator can hear the emergency unfolding and launch the drone sometimes before officers are even dispatched.
Yeah, we can't forget the evidence aspect. These drones are capturing footage that leads to convictions.
Definitely. The sources mention clear examples, like drone video catching a suspect during a stabbing. It's becoming a really significant tool for prosecution, too.
Okay, so the DFR model is clearly effective, saving time, potentially lives, and resources. But the drone itself is only part of the story. It's the whole system, the architecture behind it.
Absolutely right. The capability isn't just in the drone, it's in the ecosystem. On the hardware side, you have different approaches. You've got global players like DJI focusing heavily on the sensor package. Think high-res zoom, thermal imaging, long flight times, seeing far, seeing heat.
Impressive specs, reading license plates from 800 feet, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Then you have leading U.S. companies like Skydio, who've really bet on autonomy. Their drones use multiple cameras and powerful onboard AI processors like NVIDIA chips.
To fly themselves, essentially.
Pretty much. They can navigate complex spaces, even indoors or under bridges where GPS fails. They even have night sense for avoiding obstacles in the dark. This lets the human operator stop focusing on flying the drone and focus entirely on the mission, finding someone, assessing a scene.
But you said ecosystem. It sounds like it's bigger than just the drone hardware.
Much bigger. And this is where companies like Axon come in, you know, the company famous for tasers.
Right.
They've very strategically built themselves into the central nervous system. Their Axon Air platform manages the drones, integrates with their real-time crime center software, Axon Fusus, and feeds everything into their evidence management system, Axon Evidence.
So it's all connected. Seamless, I guess.
Seamless, yes. But that deep integration creates a really powerful vendor lock-in. Departments become reliant on this single proprietary platform. And here's the critical point our sources raise. This means corporations, through their software updates and product design, are effectively setting tactical standards for police.
How so?
Think about a one-click drone request feature added to an Axon body camera via a software update. That's a corporate decision, a product roadmap choice dictating how and when aerial surveillance is initiated, potentially bypassing local government oversight.
That's a really significant shift in who sets the rules.
It really is. And the intelligence embedded in these systems is what takes the drone beyond just being a flying camera.
We're talking about the AI capabilities now.
Exactly. Autonomous navigation is just the start. The drone becomes an active analysis platform. Real-time AI can run automated license plate readers, ALPRs.
Right.
It can perform weapon detection, spot anomalies like fights or someone loitering where they shouldn't be, even detect the sound of gunfire acoustically.
And the biometrics are getting more sophisticated than just facial recognition.
Much more. We're seeing the development and deployment of things like gait recognition, identifying someone by how they walk.
Seriously?
By their walk.
Yes, and even ear biometrics. Apparently, the shape of the ear is unique and can be captured from a distance, even if someone's covering their face.
Wow. Okay, so how does this advanced capability connect back to those initial good use cases, like the naloxone delivery?
That's what some call the Vanguard problem. The positive, life-saving applications, the drones for good, are easy to sell to the public and politicians. They drive investment and, crucially, secure those necessary regulatory waivers, like BVLOS.
Right. They pave the way.
They normalize the presence of this aerial infrastructure. Once you have a citywide network of autonomous drones routinely flying BVLOS for emergencies, the technical and political barrier to then say, okay, now let's also use them to monitor this protest becomes much, much lower. The uncontroversial use enables the potentially controversial one. That makes perfect sense. So the technology is leaping ahead, normalized by these beneficial uses. But where does the law stand? You mentioned it's fractured. It sounds like we're trying to apply old rules to a totally new game.
That's the core legal problem. We're using 20th century legal frameworks, mainly the Fourth Amendment dealing with searches and seizures, for 21st century tech. The foundational case everyone points to is California v. Serralo from 1986.
Okay, what did that say?
Basically, the Supreme Court said if police see something from a plane in public navigable airspace with their naked eye, it's not technically a search, so no warrant needed.
But drones are obviously different from a plane in 1986. What are the key distinctions breaking that old rule?
Well, there are at least three huge ones. First, persistence and cost. Manned flights were temporary, expensive events. Drones are cheap, and networks can operate 24/7. Surveillance shifts from being an exception to potentially constant.
Okay, that makes sense. Constant versus temporary. What else?
Second, sensory enhancement. Drones aren't using the naked eye. They have powerful zoom thermal imaging. Technology, the Supreme Court has said, requires a warrant when used on the ground to see inside a home, like in Kailua, United States. Drones just move that tech to the sky.
Right, so it's not just seeing. It's seeing through things or from incredible distances. And the third point,
physical intrusiveness. Drones fly much lower, closer to people and property than airplanes typically did. This might trigger a whole different legal analysis based on physical trespass, like the court considered in United States v. Jones regarding GPS trackers on cars.
So the old legal tests just don't fit neatly. And is the federal government stepping in to clarify?
Not really. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, focuses on airspace safety, making sure drones don't crash into planes. They explicitly don't regulate privacy implications. There's no specific federal law governing police drone surveillance.
Which leaves it to the states.
Exactly. And it's resulted in, well, chaos, a complete patchwork quilt of different rules. Our sources compiled data showing this.
Like what? What are some examples of the inconsistencies?
We'll get right back to the episode in a moment, but if you're listening, you already know the caliber of our audience. Your competitor, Aria, knows it too. They're already running their high-impact campaign right here, reaching every CTO and VP of engineering focused on production-ready AI. This is the most valuable airtime in enterprise tech. We reserve these limited mid-roll spots only for companies that deliver proven, compliant infrastructure solutions. If you're ready to move past generic lead lists and talk directly to the buyers making multi-million dollar decisions, it's time to claim your space. Secure your package immediately. Email us at infojamgatech.com before your remaining slots are gone. Back to the show.
Well, you've got about 18 states that now require warrants for drone surveillance, which sounds good, but often, yeah. Big exceptions for exigent circumstances or emergencies, which can be broadly interpreted. Then you have states tackling the AI directly. Illinois and Vermont, for example, specifically ban police from using facial recognition on drones, except maybe for imminent terrorist threats.
Okay, so some states are trying to limit the AI specifically. What about weaponizing them?
That's another point of divergence. Several states, including Oregon, North Dakota, Virginia, have passed laws explicitly banning the arming of police drones. Others haven't addressed it.
It really is all over the map. This makes transparency incredibly important, doesn't it? Knowing what they are doing, given the lack of clear rules.
Absolutely critical. Which brings us back to Chula Vista. There was a really important ruling from the California Supreme Court just this year, 2024. The police department had been basically denying all public requests for drone footage, claiming it was all part of investigative records.
A blanket denial.
Right. But the court rejected that. They said the police have to review footage and release anything not tied to a specific active investigation. That sets a huge precedent for public accountability, forcing departments to show how these tools are being used. So when you connect that legal gray area with how these systems are actually being deployed, the biggest fear becomes mission creep. It's almost inevitable.
How so? From reactive to proactive.
Exactly. You start with DFR, drones only launch for a 911 call. Reactive. But once that expensive infrastructure and those BVLOS waivers are in place, the pressure builds to use it more. And we're seeing it happen. Look at the NYPD. They recently announced they're starting regular proactive drone patrols. Not waiting for a call, just patrolling. That's mission creep in action.
And that proactive patrolling, especially over public spaces or gatherings, leads straight back to that chilling effect you mentioned earlier.
Absolutely. Knowing or even just suspecting that police drones are overhead monitoring a protest or a parade, it makes people think twice about participating. It suppresses legitimate First Amendment activity because people fear being watched, cataloged by the state.
There are also equity concerns, right? Complaints about where the drones fly most often.
Yes, that's a recurring theme in places like Chula Vista. Community members have voiced concerns that the drones seem to spend more time flying over lower-income minority neighborhoods.
Even if the police say it's just based on 911 call volume.
Right. Even if that's the official explanation, the perception and the lived reality for residents can be one of disproportionate surveillance.
Which leads us directly into the problem of algorithmic bias. Because the AI isn't making neutral decisions, is it?
Not at all. AI models learn from the data they're trained on. And if that training data is historical police data arrest records, stop data, which we know often reflects existing societal biases and discriminatory practices.
Then the AI just learns and automates those same biases.
Precisely. It creates a discriminatory feedback loop. And the potential for real-world harm is terrifying. We know from research, like MIT's Gender State study, that some facial recognition algorithms perform much worse on certain demographics, like darker-skinned women.
So a false match isn't just a data error, it can ruin someone's life.
It can lead to wrongful arrest, like in the documented case of Kyles Perryman. He was arrested based on a faulty facial recognition match. This isn't theoretical, it's happening.
And there's the predictive policing aspect too, reinforcing the bias.
Yes. The biased arrest data flags certain neighborhoods as hotspots. The AI then directs more drones and police patrols to those areas. This increased presence inevitably generates more arrests and stops in those areas, which then feeds back into the AI as proof that it was a hotspot all along.
Making the bias self-fulfilling.
Exactly. And there's one more subtle but maybe profound societal cost. The DFR model is explicitly designed to reduce the need for an officer's physical presence, at least initially.
Proficiency, yeah.
Right. But that can create a sense of remoteness. An officer arriving on scene, already briefed by a detached drone camera feed, might have a preformed narrative, less inclination to engage directly with the community members there. It risks further eroding that crucial community policing trust.
Turning police more into remote observers than members of the community they serve.
That's the long-term risk, yes. A further fracturing of trust. #TouchHackOutro.
Okay, so wrapping this up, where does this leave us? The technology clearly has immense power for good in emergencies. It saves critical minutes, improves safety. That's undeniable. But the governance, the rules we put around it, seem absolutely critical in deciding whether it stays a life-saving tool or spirals into, well, pervasive surveillance. It feels like the U.S. is really at a crossroads here.
It absolutely is a major inflection point.
So looking at the recommendations from our sources, what's the path forward? What should communities and policymakers be thinking about?
Well, a few key things emerge. First, the need for community involvement before deployment. These decisions shouldn't just be made by police departments or tech vendors. They need democratic buy-in.
Okay, community up adoption.
Second, strong, clear public policies. Specifically, policies that explicitly ban suspicionless mass surveillance, setting firm boundaries on proactive use.
And third,
independent audits. Regular independent checks on how the drones and the AI are being used, specifically looking for demographic bias in deployment patterns or analytical outputs, and then acting on those findings.
Transparency and accountability are key.
Absolutely. Which leads to, I think, the final, perhaps most critical question we need to grapple with, building on that point about vendors like Axon.
Go on.
If public safety technology, from drones to body cams to evidence storage, is increasingly run on these integrated proprietary platforms, are we as a society comfortable with private companies, through their product development cycles and software updates, essentially setting the de facto standards for how policing is done?
Instead of elected officials and public deliberation.
Precisely. Are coarsened roadmaps replacing democratic governance when it comes to surveillance and force? That's the fundamental governance challenge we have to face head on.
A really powerful and unsettling question to end on. That definitely gives us all something to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll be back next time to unpack another critical issue.
Before you go, let me remind you of the unparalleled value of this platform. AI Unraveled delivers deep, uncompromised technical insight that keeps our audience, senior enterprise leaders, tuned in to the very last minute. That sustained attention is the best place for your ad. This is your opportunity for a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who sign off on high-stakes infrastructure. Stop wasting budget on general marketing noise. Secure your high-impact premium ad campaign right here. Email us today to reserve your mid-roll package, info@djamgatech.com. Thank you for listening to AI Unraveled. We'll be back tomorrow with more.